out to Pokemon Go Podcast, the number 159 best podcast in the world on Pokemon Go. I don't know. That's a number I just threw out there. I got a podcast.
I don't think there's that many Pokemon Go podcasts.
Joe, let me get through the intro. For what? It's not even your birthday anymore. Happy Shut Up Day. I've already got podcast. That's Joe underscore Art. There we go. All right. So now you can make fun of me all you want. Oh, man.
You're crazy.
Thanks for coming, everybody. That's the show for tonight. We're out. Bye. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, how has your week been? Has it been a good week?
I've stopped quantifying time as good or bad. It just is, because it's been busy. I've been doing a lot of stuff with WinEMS, getting it ready for its decent launch. And I say decent, it's not going to be, we're doing kind of a soft launch, if you will. You know, I don't know if we'll ever do a hard launch, being like a big announcement and everybody come. You know, that hard launches are difficult to do, but we're doing a soft launch this weekend at the Georgia EMS Association Educators and Providers Conference, and been getting a lot of stuff ready for that. Mr. Tambourine put in a title suggestion is Happy Beep Day as the title.
That is not what he's.
I know, but it's great. I love it. It's funny.
Unnecessary censorship.
It's been interesting this week. Just busy. I did get the gotcha out and start doing some more of that. So that was good. I did get on one raid. I missed a few. I mean, it comes in bad. When I'm in a car, if I'm in my car, I can't join the raid. You don't know when I'm in my car. I get that. You know, it's not on you, but I can't join it. But I don't even get the notification, because that notification is basically silent while I'm driving. And one or two of them, I get home, look at my phone. 5 minutes ago, Mr. Tambourine invited you to do it. I was like, man, I mean, it's so close. It's not like an hour ago somebody did it. It's like, yeah, well, sorry, super busy. He's like, no, I just missed the invite. But I did get in on invite today with, I promised myself I was going to remember who did it, and I lied to myself. Paul Puck was there, but he's not the one who invited me. I can't remember who invited me, but we did a Genesect raid, and I got the big old Cannon Totem Genesect today. Genesect. Not shiny, but I did catch him in the first start. It is a bad first start.
You can't get him shiny right now.
Okay. Well, I mentioned it because I couldn't remember if you can. You're dancing. He's dancing him on the screen, everybody. I couldn't remember if you could or not, but my point is, I went to do my first throw, and I threw short, and it like hit below the ring. Still caught him on the first try. So, I need to appraise him.
You hit him below the belt?
I did. Maybe that's why I caught him on the first try. Let's see.
It was a critical catch.
It's like, no, that'd be the not cool man catch. Come on, man. Not cool. Not cool. Like now you're making the Genesect do the running, man. That's awesome. What's Zara dude? I've not got a Zara dude. Zara dude? Zora dude?
Zarude?
Zarude, whatever. It looked like Zara dude on your screen.
Oh, were you looking at my
screen? Did you rename it? Yeah. Okay, Joe, there's only two screens to look at. Mine and yours. I'm not looking at Squishy Twitchy screen right now.
I don't know. We were talking about hackers earlier. I'm just saying.
I'm 2 out of 5 on Zarude, but you named your Zara dude. Is that what it?
I just read too fast.
Zarude. Well, now officially, I want to name mine Zara dude because I've said it like 50 million times.
Except I didn't catch him. I just have him.
How?
I handed my phone to my son. He caught it.
Oh, okay. I do like that coloration on that mean monkey. Now that is what Mojo Jojo should look like. There's your crossover. Jojo. There's your crossover from other properties, everybody. Let's get Mojo Jojo as Zarude. That's going to be Zara Dude from now on. I mean, you know it is. It's just a thing now. So what's up, School of Rock Eddie? He's in live. What about you, Joe? You finished your 5 missions you had to do, and your son caught Zarude for you.
Yeah, and he's not bad IVs. I mean, it's not great IVs for Ultra, but it's 14, 14, 15, so pretty nice.
All right.
So I think if I remember correctly, if you're going for an Ultra League Zarude, you want, I believe it's 10, 14, 11 is the perfect. Erg. I mean, if you look at, and this is actually something I wanted to bring up, If you look at PokeGenie, one thing that I really dislike about it is you go into Zarude and you click on PvP and where was it? The not name generator. Where are the details? Click on the details.
All the details, Joe.
Ultra League. Where did I click to? There it is. I just clicked the box. Okay. Show full PvP IV chart. So if you look at this, one of the issues I have with PokeGenie, which is the service I've been using, is they're like, oh, the best IVs is 0/11/14 for Ultra League. There's an issue with that because you cannot get a 0/11/14 Zarude.
Okay.
That's not possible. The lowest IVs you can get for Zarude is 10/10/10. So I wish that this would limit it to actual possible IVs instead of a wide range of IVs. So because you have to scroll quite a ways before you even find ones that are actually catchable.
Scrolling on down the poke.
Yeah, and I did that the other day, and because I was curious how mine actually ranked, and it's not bad for Ultra League, but I'll probably end up maxing it out anyway. Then that's what Rock Eddie suggested but you have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll, and then I'm pretty sure it was 10/14/11 was the best actually obtainable IV spread for Ultra League for Zarude, and it was like the stat efficiency on the side was like 98.5 or something like that. I'm close to it somewhere. But yeah, that's one thing I was like, that could be better. And as a programmer, I'm like, there is definitely, and Rocket is like, that's why you, that's why you should use PokeGenie. PokeGenie.
Now, I think we established.
Am I just looking in the wrong spot? Maybe. Because that was PokeGenie.
Hold on. Maybe. Remember back in the early days of this game in PokeGenie, PokeGenie had two different versions out, the iOS and the Android. And I know, yeah, everybody publishes blah, blah, blah. But no, when I say it did two different things. Like, you could pull up stuff on PokeGenie. I'm like, man, and all three of us, me, you, and Ibbit, were all like, how are you doing that? PokeGenie, right? No, but it's because me and Ibbit were all iPhone users, and the person telling us, hey, you could do this, was an Android user, perhaps?
Yeah, there was a way that you could interface it directly with the game, and it would give the IVs. It would have an overlay. There was one.
But you see what I'm saying? You can never do that on iPhone. One. So perhaps it's an iPhone versus Android issue when School of Rock, or yeah, School of Rock is saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sad part is because mine, as far as actual obtainable, it wasn't too far down. But if you just look at it, it's like, oh, this is 22.9% poor PvP IVs. Okay. So, yeah, it's like, whatever.
I love how far you're going with this when you don't PvP.
It's true. It's very true. But I actually looked at PokeGenie to see what the good IVs were for Zarude because I was curious. And so, yeah, just thought I'd put that out as a warning during my experiences that, hey, just because it says it's quote unquote bad IVs for PvP because there's so many other options that are better, that's not good. Now there is another, there's a website. And I can't remember what the website was because I looked at it once. Where you can, I've gone to a website where you put in the IVs manually, and you could limit it to say, hey, this was hatched or this was a raid catch. How does this stack up if that's the only basically place where it's available? So, but yeah,
fair enough.
Anyway, I did catch Zarude this week, like you said. I caught a couple of Genesect as well. I hopped in on three or four Rufflet raids as well.
I probably missed a few of those, unfortunately.
Yeah, I did those. I think it was on Sunday. I got invited to a bunch of them from some of our listeners. And so I did a bunch of Rufflet raids as well. And yeah, it's been a pretty good week. Pretty good week. We've got quite a few new people here in the chat tonight. So I just wanted to give a welcome out to Leadwalk XD and the Pokey Garden and Queen Rotom. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Rotom or Rotom? Are they the Pokemon that will transform into? Can I get a podcast mic, Rotom? Can I get a Keurig, Rotom? Make my coffee, Queen Rotom. I have questions. I need you to answer these questions. But that's not what we're called to talk about. We've got some other people's experiences of the week that you can find in our Discord. You can get to our Discord by going to my brain's tired. Thank you.
Patreon.com/PokemonGoPodcast.
Say it again.
Patreon.com/PokemonGoPodcast.
What he said, because my brain's tired. But yes, you do that at any level that you support the show. You can get into our Discord, and we got a great community there, and we do some awesome stuff. And let's go to the experiences of the week. Wow, as you scroll through. Oh, I forgot, Joe. I've got one more experience of the week as we get into this.
Oh, do you now?
Guess who has two thumbs and leveled up to 41 this week?
Someone else, because clearly you can't go above 40.
Yeah, I was going to make some kind of joke like that, too. I nailed 41 down this week, and so now I'm not working on 42, as I wasn't working on 41, and I made it. So there you go. Don't cry, right, Joe. I know you're so happy. Joe is so happy. He's got tears. He had to take his glasses
miracle.
Off. It's like, I never thought I saw the day the Filthy Casual did something in the game.
It'll be 2024 before he levels up again.
Hey, we'll have a cure for COVID. A cure for COVID before I hit level 42 is all I'm saying.
So we have, speaking of level ups, we've got Barry hitting level 46 this past week. And then we've got Kittens and High Fives, or as you like to say, Kittens and Knives.
Yeah, I say it right.
With a bunch of cards. Yeah, his buddy from Japan, his homie from Japan, sent him a bunch of cards. And man, does some of these look fantastic. A lot of full arts. Yeah, just some real good, and especially the Eevees. So this must be they recently did a set that was primarily focused on Eevee and its evolution. So this is most likely from that set, I would assume. You and I, we don't really do the card game that much. That right. Reshiram.
I'm getting really irritated right now.
Why?
Because they've made it super difficult to change your buddy out. You say I just go, hey, swap buddies, and boom, there's a buddy. And now I went to the buddy I want, can't swap it out. Go to the buddy itself, buddy history, because that's all it gives me. It's not letting me hit a swap buddy button unless I'm missing something here. I'm scrolling slower.
Okay. You click your profile.
Yeah. No, I'm on the me tab. Thank you very much.
You click your buddy.
It says,
you scroll down and it says,
so, okay, swap buddy. That's what I'm talking about. It says buddy history. It doesn't say swap buddy. So I got to click the buddy.
You got to get to the buddy menu.
That's what I was trying to do, Joe.
Okay.
I'm here now. Thank you. Go do your thing. Carry on. And okay. Queen Rotom. Wait, Queen Rotom asks, anyone know where I can find a Thundurus? Get the Rotom key and attach it to the Rotom kite and fly it, and you'll get Thundurus.
Okay. But in all actuality, in Pokemon Go right now, he is not in raids, so the only way you can get him is through trades at the moment. Either that or wait until he comes to raids again. So. And then Kittens and High Fives is also showing off a shiny Mesprit as well.
Nice.
Old Man Tup with a 100% IV Zarude. Very nice. Very, very nice. Disappointing Terry. ended up with a shiny Ditto. Thompson 309 hit level 45. Very nice as well. Kittens and High Fives also grabbed their Zarud. It looks to be 13, 14, 14.
Yeah.
Very awesome sauce there. U.S. Nate Scout. U.S. Nate Scout hasn't been playing as much since quote-unquote Pokemon No Fest. but he took a trip to New York City this last week, weekend, and went ahead and brought his, I think he's got a gotcha. I don't think he's got the plus. I think he's got a gotcha.
He does have a gotcha. He's here in a minute.
Got some Nate catches, a shiny and a hundo.
No. Finish. Oh, you're getting to it. Yeah. Read what he says there after shiny and a hundo. He calls it a
Nate says, catch. I will bet money Charles has also not charged either of his gotchas. And I bet Charles.
Give me the money, Nate. Show me the money, because I have charged it and I have used it, and those are filthy casual catches, not Nate catches. I took it back.
And then I'm not sure what he was trying to say here, but he says, I bet Charles to level 41.
I think he says he beat me.
Oh, beat. Which
is actually, yeah, he might have. I just did it a few days ago.
Yep. Wait.
I want to see if I can check to see when mine triggered, because I see he posted that yesterday. At like 11:41, and let me see. It won't. Journal. I can look through my journal. Right. All right. Yeah. I'm seeing. I just want to see if he actually, because it's like down to the wire there. Come on. Surely it says where you leveled up in your journal, right?
I don't know. I don't look at my journal.
You know what? I haven't looked at my journal forever. But you would think you leveled up at this time. The fifth research, blood type research, category runaway, a lot of runaways.
Well, while you're looking at that,
dang,
I'm going to continue reading. In Times Square, he caught a 100% Glammeow, as well as a shiny P-Dove. I assume that's in Times Square as well. If not, it's in New York City, because that's where he was. And then he shows that he hit level 41. And then there's me showing... Since everyone else was posting theirs or Rudes, I thought I'd post mine as well. And yeah, that's where I posted here. 10, 14, 11 is the best possible IVs for Ultra League. And then Nulti showing off a 100% Caterpie, as well as some shinies, two shiny Chanseys, a shiny Oddish, Drifloon, Ghastly, Dwebble, Ditto, and Notu. And actually, I did get out a little bit on Tuesday for a spotlight hour. I just transferred all of the Drifloon that I caught. I didn't get a shiny.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't that busy, but I already have plenty of Drifloon and shiny Drifloon. So I was like, yeah, I'll pass.
Yeah. And then Duly Noted showing off a 100% Ludicolo, which is pretty awesome. And then Mr. Tambourine with a shiny Stunfisk. Cool stuff there. Then Hallowed Robin with two shiny Caterpies, a shiny Hippowdon, and a shiny Diglett.
Okay, so I dig the photo bomb by Team Rocket. That is fun.
That's different than what my photo bomb looked like when I did it. Although I think I've since deleted it. So there must be several different poses.
And thank you, Dooley, for renewing his subscription for 7 months straight. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You rock.
Dooley is awesome when it comes to the subscriptions. Like, he's basically the MVP of our subscriptions.
Yeah, you know what? He sure is. Now, we had a discussion last week. The question was, what's your favorite mythical Pokemon and why? And as always, Joe went and put it on Reddit, as we do, which is, what's the Reddit page, Joe?
It's reddit.com/r/PokemonGoPodcast.
And we didn't really get much activity there this week. And that's okay. That happens. However, I tried something new because we publish through Anchor. We love anchor.fm. And it's owned by Spotify. And there's some new tools there. One of them is Q&A with your audience. So I was able to publish the same question. What's your favorite mythical Pokemon and why? And if you listen through Spotify, which is free, then you, I guess you get it on your player. I'm not even sure how it presents itself. We got two people answering, and I'm going to read this first one for a couple of reasons. First reason is Zach Mann is listening, and Zach Mann, if it's the same Zach Mann that I know, I met Zach Mann in like one of my first podcasts I did like 10 years ago, and we've circled each other online, and we definitely talk every once in a while, but he's one of the earliest people I know that was listening to me doing podcast stuff. Didn't know he was listening to Pokemon Go show. So that's awesome, Zach Mann. And Zach Mann will probably write in and go, I told you I was listening. And you probably did. I forget things, but I love seeing your name, Zach Mann. That's my point. Now, here's the second reason why, because this is written mostly to Joe. It's subtle, though. It's subtle. I read between the lines to see that this was written for Joe. So I'm just going to read it. My favorite, happy birthday, Joe, mythical Pokemon, happy birthday, Joe, has got a happy birthday, Joe, be happy, Mew, birthday, because Joe, it's the OG.
Well, thank you, Zach, man.
That was literally read as written.
And Mew is pretty awesome, especially, I mean, when I think of Mew, for some reason, my mind goes straight to Pokemon Snap, because Mew is the, I guess, the final boss in Snap. I mean, they didn't really have boss, but it's the final Pokemon that you run into in Pokemon Snap. So, yeah, lots of fun there. And then the other comment is from Prankster Dude, and Prankster Dude says, Victini, it looks cute. I mean, you can't argue with that. Victini is pretty adorable.
So, Joe, and then it comes to you. What's your favorite Pokemon and why? Or mythical. Oh, sorry, what's your favorite mythical?
Yeah, you got to be specific. Mythical.
You're right.
Because if we're going with just Pokemon in general, of course, it's Growlithe.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
Which I'm still holding Growlithe. My breath and hoping this Growlithe thing is going to come to you that I got for your birthday.
Well, thank you. That would be awesome. I suspect I know what you're talking about. But yeah, I did get a couple of Pokemon things for my birthday. So the Growlithe and then...
Hey, real quick. Right, oh, there. Nice. Oh, we'll talk about that in a second. But Dually Productions is popping off. Stop by to say hi. Got to get back to Six Flags celebrating my birthday today. So happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, Dually.
Pika! Because you rode too many rides. But all right, so you had a Ninja Pikachu that you held up, which is very cool. Oh, don't get distracted by doing a battle, Joe. You can't be doing raids and podcasting, Joe.
No.
That's hard.
It wasn't a ninja.
You did it disappointed. Fast. Is it a Naruto one?
No, it's not. It is from Banana.
Is it Ed, and Eddie Pikachu?
No.
That looks like a ninja from here.
No.
Beer bottles for earrings?
No. Demon Slayer.
Okay. Nah, I have no idea.
You would like Demon Slayer if you watched it. You ought to. It's a good anime. Do it.
So we were talking about mythical.
Mythicals. I think maybe my favorite mythical might have to be Keldeo. We don't have Keldeo in Pokemon Go just yet.
Are you saying the name right?
Yeah.
You didn't grow up watching Hook? Keldeo!
Rufio!
There you go.
I saw a brief tangent. I saw a Rufio at, I saw multiple Rufios at Dragon Con. But I told one of them, I was like, you know what I really wish I had seen? Was a Rufio Prince Zuko amalgamation cosplay.
Yeah.
But anyway. Cool.
But
same actor. Same actor does the voice of.
Yes, he does.
Anyway.
And do you know who got to sit and interview him?
You got to talk to Dante Bosco?
Dante Bosco. Absolutely. Got to sit with him for an hour. I've got it recorded. It's going to go out on Finding the Stories.
At some point,
I've been really busy. But yeah, I got to sit and interview him. It was really fun.
I don't know much about his personal life, but every time I see him, I see someone mention a post of his, he seems like a fun guy.
I went and talked to him for an hour. He absolutely seems like a fun guy and a very genuinely nice dude.
Yeah. Most of the time I try to avoid knowing the personal lives of celebrities.
Yeah.
Simply because I don't want that to
right,
negatively skew my experience when watching.
Let's say he is not Fire Nation, okay? He's just not. He is peaceful. I'll get out. Anyway, it's not what we call
it. Anyway, Keldeo. So Keldeo is kind of the D'Artagnan of the Swords of Justice. So the Swords of Justice, we have the rest of them in the game. They are Cobalion, Terrakion, and Virizion. And then Keldeo. So they're basically based off of the Musketeers, with Keldeo being the young one, the D'Artagnan. But he's kind of a My Little Pony-esque Keldeo is. Okay. I do even know what Keldeo looks like. You need to Google
it. Googling it. Does he evolve into like the most wicked looking unicorn ever?
He doesn't evolve at all.
Or does he look like the most wicked looking unicorn ever?
He's My Little Pony. He's just a little adorable guy.
Because there's one right here in the artwork depicting a variety of mythical Pokemon on Bulbapedia. And there's this. Maybe that's not a horn. Maybe it's just a straight hair, but it looks like there's a unicorn with multicolored hair.
Red and blue, yep. And then a light blue mane, yep, and a light blue tail. Yep, that's him.
Gotcha.
That's Keldeo. So, I mean, Mew is definitely awesome. I do like Mew quite a bit. And I'm sure that there's plenty of people that would say Arceus, simply because Arceus is the god of really Pokemon. Nice.
I mean, you know how I lean towards the darker, more menacing monster.
Are you going to say Darkrai?
Well, no, yeah, I definitely say Darkrai, but for just talking about Arceus, I tend to any of the ones that come out that look like monsters, they put the monster in Pocket Monster, I tend to lean towards liking those more, and Arceus is definitely up there with the artwork, but no, Darkrai, he's just dark matter personified, you know, it's just, signature ability is Bad Dreams and Dark Void, I mean, come on, moves such as Nightmare. That's yes, I'm ringing off of Bulbapedia, but yeah, I sound like I know what I'm talking about because I can do that. But yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about mythicals, and we got Genesect with the Douse Drive this past week. Why didn't they just use the form change just like they did
like they did with the puppy?
Now, the problem with that setup is it takes candy to do the
right
to do those, and so mythical and legendary candies are harder to come by and more valuable, and so
sure
from a balancing standpoint I wouldn't like it. I would prefer if changing forms only cost Stardust personally, and then there's also the issue I meant to mention it in that last week. But if you have a lucky Pokemon, a lucky Furfrou, for instance, changing forms, the candy cost isn't reduced, even though powering up, the Stardust and candy costs are reduced, unless they fix that. But last time I checked, that was the case.
You know how, so well, maybe don't, but I assume everybody knows this. There's on many a TV set, there's a person that is a continuity boss. Meaning that they get to look at the scripts and they got to say, no, this, and there might even be a team depending on how big the show is. But they go, oh, no, three seasons back.
The Kevin Feige?
Yeah, like he's the continuity boss for Marvel, just to make sure everything stays straight. When you talk about like an individual show, that's it. I mean, in a nutshell, Kevin Feige's going to go, no, remember in Iron Man 1, we did this, this, and this, so you cannot do that here. The big one is, this is a true story, Under Siege is a Steven Seagal film. Right, where he's on a Navy ship, and he's the cook, but he used to be a SEAL, all this stuff. It's standard Steven Seagal 90s beat him up. Loved it. They go to start making Under Siege 2, and Gary Busey's in Under Siege 1. Great character. And they literally signed Gary Busey for Under Siege 2, which was it was moving forward. It was a carry on. Anyway, the time in the same universe, everything, same characters, Under Siege 2 was for Under Siege 1. They signed Gary Busey to a contract, and then someone went, hey, dummies, you killed his character in the first movie. can't have him in the second movie, and they still had to pay him. Man, they ended up getting Jake Busey, his son, in the second movie.
Some people's kids.
But that's what whatever that thing was I just said, where they keep it straight. So they need that in Pokemon, right?
Yeah, I mean, they developed this new code for changing forms, and then they don't use it. I mean, there is precedence because they've already set up with, why am I blanking on Deoxys? So Deoxys, we've got all the different forms as well, which I don't think... I could be wrong, because I'm sure there's someone that will be offended. But I think in general, people wouldn't be offended if they took Deoxys, added the form change, and then just automatically defaulted them to the form that you caught them at. That way you could interchange them. So, like, for instance, right here, I've got pulled up a defense form Deoxys.
Yes.
If they put this on there, they could leave him a defense form Deoxys, but then put the change form button down there. And again, I think they should get rid of the cost for candy, or make it a single candy cost to unlock the ability to change forms. And then from then on, it only costs Stardust. That could also work, but I don't think it should cost candy every time.
Gotcha. Digress too much more, because that was not the discussion.
It's true.
But I think that gives a good point about the discussion for next week. What would it take for you to care about the form change function in Pokemon Go? Right? Because Joe obviously just laid out a lot of cool things, but that doesn't make you care. You just think it'd be better. So along those lines, what would make you care about the form change function, and or how would you make it better? Answer however you want. Go the Joe route and talk about the stuff that could work, should work, or what it would take just for you to give a care about it. Not to cut you off, Joe, but we're this is why I tell you, don't grab 15,000 topics, because we like to talk, man, and you get on a roll. So do I. It's what we do. But anyway.
Tangents galore, baby. Tangents.
That's my next Pokemon name, Tangents.
You just... we're flipping the tracks, and we're seeing where this rail takes us.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
The Pokemon Go podcast is made possible 100% by you and other listeners just as awesome as you are. If you want to support the show and get a little something in return, just go to patreon.com/PokemonGoPodcast.
My name is Cheeky.
Liar.
Cheeky Nashville. This is Cheeky Nashville. And
I'm from Nashville.
I play so hard that I need an Advil. I listen to the show, y'all already know. Charles is okay, but a crazy.
The Joe!
Took Charles 4 years to hit the 40th level. Rollerblade is here, now it's pedal to the metal.
No.
In Nashville, it's always scorching. My man Joe is the underscore kid. My last name is Nashville, my first name is Cheeky. Tom is a fraud. That's my experience of the week. Recording
live. There you go. What's so great about that is all he had to do was know very basic things about Nashville. It's hot, and we just bought the whole act. We bought the entire act. Oh, yeah, Nashville is hot. You must be from Nashville. Yeah, man. He did that whole rap in that voice, and that thing's a good minute long. You only play a little piece of it when we come back in. But we played it on our Thanksgiving show, and that's a big thing. Hey, I'm going to get ahead of the game, Joe. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we record on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. That obviously will fall on Thanksgiving this year. I thought what we did last year was a lot of fun, where you, the audience, gets to be the show. If Joe and I can work out a schedule to record together, we'll do some responses to the bits that you send in, the segments you send in. But last year, time just ran out. I did it myself, and Joe was fine with that. It was great. Because you were there. Every time I asked a question, I just hit the yep button. So you were represented. You were there. Maybe we need to record some other phrases that you say and that you can really be in the show. Then it'd be like Cheeky Nashville. People will believe that you're really there because we played like three phrases. Well, yep. Joe says yep. That must be him. You know. But let's get those in. Show@PokemonGoPodcast.com. Send your MP3s. Go to at PokemonGoPodcast.com. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see the SpeakPipe tab. You can click that from anywhere in the world and leave a 90-second voicemail. And so you can be a part of the show this year. And at this point, we're getting ahead early, man. You've got like a good 6 weeks to get it in. Because I still need some time to edit it, and we don't want to run right up to Thanksgiving. I'd like to get it edited and ready to go by Thanksgiving week. And we'll remind you each week on the show. And Joe, honestly, if you want to record something special as a side thing and just turn it in, that'll be fun too. And I know you and I did try to, and we'll try to again, schedule a time to where we can react together to the segments. But that's neither here nor there. Now, which one of these headlines do you want to start with?
You did not actually put the links on. Let's go ahead and start with the old.
You're right. This thing, that October event calendar didn't. But look, it looks like it's linked. Something just went wrong.
You done messed up, Aaron.
That is weird but, that played out that way.
Yeah, I put the link in the chat. So we've got that there. This is an infographic coming to us from... Who is this coming to us from?
DJ.
Did they not credit themselves?
Well, who posted it? I don't know, but it's from user DJ Bunce. But I know DJ Bunce didn't bring it to us. I know what you're saying.
No, a lot of times when people make infographics, they put their little label on it.
Well, yeah, so. Maybe DJ Bunce didn't even make it. Who knows?
Yeah, Mr. Bunce. I like your cake, but label it. So we've got the Zerud event going on right now. And Genesect is here. The Douse. Why am I blanking on Douse mode? Douse.
Form?
Form. Douse. It's not the right word. Drive. Douse drive.
Is that really it?
Yes, it's the Douse drive. I was blanking on it. I just, my mind couldn't put it there. And then we had Drifloon Spotlight Hour on this past Tuesday. We had Niantic's birthday on Wednesday. And we've got a little infographic here as well with the event bundle that they gave everyone for their birthday. So it was a fast TM, a charged TM, 50 Pokeballs, pretty nice, and a lucky egg.
I need to go and see if I can grab that bundle.
Is it even still there?
I don't know.
It's not their birthday anymore. Check.
It's not their birthday anymore.
Yeah, you could only grab it between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m.
that day. Local time. Well, I missed it. Oh, well.
Yep. So, Mr. Tambourine, I had to form a task force to decide how to celebrate Niantic's birthday.
Well, I'm very glad, Mr. Tambourine, you did that. And then you made it to where, instead of making it all week where people could celebrate your birthday, your task force made it to where we can only do it in a few hours in the middle of the freaking work week. Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, for history, I'm just mocking there. But I mean, do what you want to do. But that is a little weird, right? To put it daytime hours during the middle of a work week, which I understand. There's a lot of controversy over people not wanting to
work. You don't choose your birthday.
Joe, when was the last time you took off in the middle of the day to celebrate your birthday? Don't say this past weekend you work from home. It doesn't count.
It's been a few years.
Thank you. Moving on. We got Community Day coming up Friday. Or Saturday, sorry. It might as well be Friday if they're going to do their birthday on Wednesday.
Let's just do whatever. Yeah, it's Duskull. Which, again, is fine. A lot of people were really hoping for Litwick. I've mentioned that before, so I'm gonna get off that. But so Duskull, get the shiny red Duskull. I think you have a shiny Duskull. You may have evolved it, but
I believe I did evolve it because I liked how that looked. But I'll be down to get a few more shinies just for funsies.
All the shinies. And then on Monday the 7th, Great League starts up. Since I don't PvP, I don't even know what it currently is.
It's not Monday.
What is it? What is it, Charles?
Sun,
what's it currently? 11th.
What is Great League?
No, I said, what is it currently? What league?
It is. Anyway. I don't give a crap league. That's what it is. I can barely, all right. Dude, I can barely accept the raid invites from the awesome people who want to play with me. I don't know what the raid is. It's not even a raid. It's a freaking PvP battle.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of this, you know, I started covering it just because it's here, but a lot of this we already talked about. But this is a nice little infographic. Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, though, is at the end of the month, on the 29th, on Friday, is when the Philadelphia Safari Zone is. So if you were planning to attend that, make sure you go.
It's a secret, but I'm planning on driving up to Philadelphia and dragging Phil out to play.
Well, it's not a secret anymore because he claims he listens to every podcast.
It's also not true. I just wanted to hear that part and be like, what? And then, yeah. Sorry, Phil. See if you listen, because if you do, I'm sure I'm going to get the old man messages that he likes to send me when I call him out on the show.
Oh, man. you could always go the Tristan route. Take the train.
Last train to Philly. Oh, that doesn't ring a bell. Okay, so the bundle, as you mentioned, for the birthday. Mm-hmm. Decent. I would say decent. I'm a little disappointed I missed it. The TMs and the Lucky Egg are solid. And, you know, I always could use some more Pokeballs. That was a really good special box bundle that they did.
Yeah.
A little sorry I missed
it. I mean, it's just a little added something. Something.
All right.
But Niantic, we're going to expect it every year now. So deal with it. Man, this hoot-hoot, he's just a mean hoot-hoot. Anyway.
Twitch Rivals and the 5th anniversary of Pokemon Go. What is this?
What? Nani?
Hey, Nani, presented by Samsung. Tune in to the Twitch Rivals stream on Wednesday, October 13th. So again, in the middle of the week at 3 p.m. Pacific, that's 4, 5, 6 p.m. Eastern, to watch high profile streamers team up and duke it out in a catch and battle. This must be what the task force came up with. Hey, we're all media creators on the task force. Our first business is let's get more of our faces out there playing the game.
Cross promotion, baby.
Yeah. Oh, this is very much not a bad idea. And I would not have turned it down had they asked me to be a part of it by any means.
Well, clearly we need to do a stream event of podcasters versus podcasters and see who the best at PvP is. Spoiler alert, it won't be us.
It won't be us. Not in the slightest.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk to some people and see if we could work something out. Yeah. Anyway,
that's not what we're doing.
No promises, though. No promises. So phase one, that's catch. Teams will have 1 hour to catch as many Pokemon as possible to create their battle parties. So that's interesting. They have to actually go out and catch brand new Pokemon to use in the battles.
Wait. Da-da-da. We're going to tune into Twitch. Rivals stream on Wednesday to watch them team up and duke it out and the catch up. But my thing is, how are we watching them go out and catch if they're Twitch streaming? Because not we all as an audience, but you and I and the creators that we work with know it's very difficult to mobile Twitch stream this game.
Who was it that we were watching the other day?
I don't. It wasn't the other day. It was weeks ago.
Not the other day. It was like a few months ago. The other month.
Yeah.
We were watching somebody. They were streaming from a hotspot that they had
with
a laptop in their backpack and a GoPro hooked up to catch their face. Yeah. It was way out of sync, but it was pretty neat.
It's pretty neat. So I'm wondering what.
So maybe they'll do something like that.
I wonder what they're going to, and brand new participants will use brand new accounts with unique gameplay settings and they'll need to strategize and collaborate. I'll be curious, honestly, if they have really solved
unique gameplay settings, that's where it comes in.
Uh-huh.
What if the GPS is disabled and they actually get to control their character?
Dude, no, they're going to call that Spoof Fest 2021. You know they're going to call that Spoof Fest 2021. You cannot do this, Niantic. You're going to kill yourself.
Spoofgate.
You know that you can't. How you can't, Joe. You can't do that. The only way I can figure that they'll do it Well, no, I don't know how they're going to do streaming. If they've cracked how to do that, or they announce, hey, we've made this partnership with Twitch that we're building it into the games, or some kind of special app that will let everybody do it now, that would be cool. I'm down with that. I'm curious to see how they do it. But there's no way. There is no way they can, anybody can think it's a good idea to have unique gameplay settings, which basically means they get to spoof to go out and play because they want to stream it.
Well, and we don't know what these quote unquote unique gameplay settings.
You and I would understand that, right? As creators, we would understand all day long. No, absolutely. You have a special account that just lets you spoof. You know, you go out, no GPS, so that you can stream it and it's really showing the game. That makes sense. But after everything and the stinks that have been made about spoofing in this game, and all the crap. Remember, they used to eat our batteries so badly trying to stop.
Oh, they still spoofers. Do.
Right, yeah, but we have new phones that we don't see the battery drain that fast. Or at least
no, it doesn't matter the phones. We just carry any real Pokemon Go player just carries around an external battery wherever you go.
You might be fair. You might be right with that one.
Seriously, Community Day when I'm walking around the park, I don't have to look at who's staring at their phone. I just need to see whose phone is attached to an external battery. Then I'm like, they're playing Pokemon Go.
Right. But it doesn't matter how much they say this is a unique thing, this is for streaming, this is for whatever. It will backfire badly. Well,
unless they're literally temp accounts. Like if they delete the accounts afterwards.
Have you met the internet? It's and nonsense.
And then people will be like, wait. There must be an exception for handicapped people, which, you know, isn't an unreasonable request.
I agree.
But then it'll be, but wait, how come they get it and we don't get it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not going to, at that point, they're going to be like, they gave it to these people who claim they're handicapped, but have they verified
that? No,
and all kinds of stuff.
I have a solution. Too bad it's not a discussion a week. I have an answer. This is how I would do it if I were in charge of this project. I say, okay.
Hold on, real quick. I am battling with Pickle Rick on my side. That's all.
That is continue. All. Carry on. Nice. But here's how I would do this. I would start a whole new Niantic program, not a software program, but a program you can sign up for. That's for creators and special cases. I don't know what else to call it. I don't want to call it special disabled. I don't want to put what I feel is a negative term on it, but people who could use that assistance, right? Want to play Pokemon Go, but can't get out, can't operate the phone really well, and set up a program. Not really. See, now I feel like I'm stepping into my own traps. You understand what I'm saying? People who want to play and could use some assistance doing so. And you set up the program and say, okay, you can apply for, anybody can apply for the program. Here's the criteria. We're going to look, see you got a Twitch channel. We're going to look, see how much you actually stream. We're going to see what else you do. And then if you basically meet some basic criteria as a streamer, you can have this special account that will let you spoof for the stream. However, you won't be able to play in full, only PvP battles you'll be able to play in is other people in this program. Right now, I'd have a little side program inside of that. Right. So I'm thinking of my old friend who passed away, had muscular dystrophy, and he needed all kinds of special controls to play games. And he died long before this came out, but I can see him liking this game. So that's a side program, is those who could use assistance, those who could do more. We're going to have people who create programs that make games accessible. That's the word I've been looking for, accessibility. And they're going to be able to get these special accounts so that they can't go out and play, they can spoof. If they need to hit a button that says throw the ball, it'll randomize something in the background, just like if you're really throwing it, it's kind of random to how well you throw it. So it's not just an automatic catch, but you could do this. And then it'd be a huge win for Niantic, saying, look at us. We are supporting the creative community. Look at us. We are highly accessible. We're the first highly accessible AR mobile real world game.
Well, even if you get rid of the spoofing stuff, you've got something there where they could definitely put in some accessibility features for people who, you know, have disformities that they could that then
need they need access. They need,
yes,
whatever accessibility means to them.
I mean, we've already got the Pokemon Go Plus and the gotchas and things like that.
And that can
why help. why can't they just put a button over top of a Pokemon that does the same thing? That's
and it's
so much better.
One of the biggest things about accessibility is color. Colorblind modes, neutral colors. And while I do want you to have your Butterfree to look like the Butterfree in the game, there should be a colorblind mode that lets people see. I am not colorblind. I have decent eyesight, and I have a hard time determining what the shadows are that I'm looking at in that small little nearby. I can't imagine somebody with any kind of seeing issues or colorblind, you know, anything like that, would it be. So, yeah, I know I'm onto something, Joe. Accessibility fest is what it could be. We'll see. I hope it goes well. I'm excited, but I just know how Niantic does things. I'm like, yeah. I just feel like this is not going to go well. But let's see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how it goes next week.
But I love that.
But then after they spend an hour catching as many Pokemon as possible, they will then use those Pokemon in a round robin tournament with specific rules. That will be in place to add a new level of depth and strategy. It wouldn't surprise me if that specific rules are similar to what they've done in the past in the main series games, where they normalize your Pokemon's levels. They could do something similar with CP, normalize them just at or just below the different level, the different league levels, so that the Pokemon, you don't have to power them up or things like that, since they only have an hour to catch them. They're not going to have very many candies to power up and evolve and things like that.
And they're all new accounts. They all start at, so I think part of that special account is going to start at level 20 or 30 or 40, just flat out.
Yeah. Well, and the unique gameplay experience could be that it's free to evolve and to power up Pokemon.
Because you're right. Because nobody wants to see a bunch of level ones fight each other. Right.
I've got my Pidgey. How many Pidgeys you got?
Yeah. I love the idea. I'm all for the idea behind this. I'm just afraid of the history that Niantic has of, throwing babies in the alligator pit. That'll be good, won't it? No, it won't. Let's think about that for a second.
So, yeah, so I'm curious to see how it goes. Let's see, Wednesday at, it would be 6 p.m. for us. We'll see. That's prime dinner time for me generally with my family. Yeah,
me too. I'm usually busy doing something. But you know what? We'll see. We will both try.
Well, and I'm sure they'll put the VOD up later so we could catch it afterwards as well.
I'm sure we don't need to watch a single bit of it because we'll hear all the headlines for that week. By Thursday, all we're going to be talking about is the headlines from that. I almost guarantee.
Yeah, Mr. Tambourine has it straight up. Whoever has all the Bidoofs, they're going to win.
Badoof and spoof. Oh, no. This is going to be so bad. All right, announcing the Pokemon Go Championship Series. Now, I do like the idea that they're doing the... I know they're test playing these new rules, right? And they're making it where it's more real world versus just a video game type of deal.
Is this the real world?
It's not, though. But 2022, top Pokemon Go players will earn invitations to the Pokemon World Championships. These Pokemon Go events will have a senior and master age division. So this is going to be places much like what that this is. I see what they're doing here. This whole Twitch Rivals thing is very much just a big announcement for the World Championships, where now I can see how it play out. You go, me and you, Joe, we meet in Nashville, and we go to one of these events. They give us an hour to run around, catch what you can, and they get together, and y'all go start battling. So, yeah, two-phase windows and this and that. Trainers who achieve legend rank in the current Pokemon Go Battle League season.
Well, that rules us out.
Absolutely does. Will be able to register during a short early registration window, which will take place. Once it closes, trainers of any rank can then register. So, basically, just lets them get in first.
But there'll be let's face it, it's going to, I don't know how many slots, but it'll probably fill up before they open it to everybody else. Either that or that early window will then be the seeded people versus the normies.
Yeah, no, I can see that all together. Here's what else. So basically you go to a regional event, just like in any kind of sporting event. You win your area, and if you win the area, then you get invited to the next level up. And this sounds like it's just two levels. It's just the area – And then an invitation to the 2022 Pokemon World Championships. So it's go to your event, win the event, then go to the World Championship and battle. Do you think this is going to replace Pokemon Go Fest?
No.
Do you think this will be at Pokemon Go Fest?
Well, let's see. When is this going to be? November? So no.
Well, we don't know when the world. No, we don't know when the world event will be. So trainers can trainers of any rank can then register for remaining spots. Trainers will have until Monday, November 29th, 2021 to compete in the current Go Battle League season. The next Go Battle League season will grant entry into a second batch of live events. So you so that wasn't actually clear at the first. You actually compete. You have to do well in this Go Battle League currently in the game. Then you can go to the live event. Then you can go to the world event, I guess.
Yeah, and this event, so top Pokemon Go players at these events. So this is, they're going to do a series of events.
Right.
They will earn invitations to the 2022 Pokemon World Championships.
What I've read like three times.
I know, but it doesn't show a date other than
right
on Pokemon.com. There's a link to Pokemon.com in the announcement there. It does specify that the event will take place over 4 days, starting on a Thursday. So it'll be a Thursday through Sunday event. Granted, we don't know what weekend of the year that will be, but if you're planning accordingly for if you work schedule or whatever, note that you will likely need to take some time off in order to accomplish this.
Honestly, though, if you play well enough to get in these, because it's not talking about, I mean, there might be, but it's not talking about fees to enter. It's not talking about prizes either. And I mean, obviously, to travel, let's say they host it in Tokyo. I mean, if you were the regional champ, Joe, you'd have to figure out how to fly to Tokyo and do all that.
Yeah,
they call it the World.
World Championships.
Right. Now, more likely they'll host it in San Diego, where they're based out of? San Francisco. One of those two they're based out of.
I can't remember. Oh, for Niantic is based out of.
Yeah, Niantic.
Yeah, out of California.
So wherever, I would imagine they would host it somewhere close to Niantic's home base.
Except this feels like it's being run by Pokemon, not Niantic.
Then who knows?
I could be wrong.
Either way, if you call
it, I mean, it's in collaboration, definitely. But it feels like the Pokemon company is spearheading this because it's in collaboration with the quote unquote play Pokemon events, and those are pre-existing events. And one thing also to note is a prerequisite for being a competitor in these events is you will need to link your Pokemon Go account to a Pokemon Trainer Club account. Now, granted, they don't have the Pokemon Trainer Club account doesn't have as many issues nowadays as it used to, but it has had issues in the past. So there is concern there.
All right.
So,
we're at time. So moving on here. We've heard reports of mysterious chanting deep in the wild. What's going on? This tweet has been deleted. Is what's going on. The official,
has it?
According to Reddit, and I clicked on the link. No, it did say it's been deleted, but it basically shows that looks like a version of Slowbro meets somebody.
It's Pumpkaboo.
Pumpkaboo. All right. So
one of the Pumpkaboo.
Looks like we're getting Pumpkaboo coming up. That's about it there.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. I mean, it's Halloween. We're gonna get some fun stuff. What if Joe? What if yeah, they do a shiny Litwick.
I like shiny Litwick. That's fine with me.
Yeah. Niantic. Okay, this last one. Actually, I saw a tweet today. This is one I brought to Joe, and he found the official response on it. Niantic acquires developer experience leader Haas. That's about all I know about it. Joe, are you any more familiar with Haas and what they do?
I am unfamiliar with them. Apparently... So I'm just going to read this first little tidbit. Niantic is excited to welcome the team from Haas to accelerate and expand the Lightship developer experience and build a robust set of tools to make it easy to work with Lightship and facilitate a vibrant developer community. If I remember correctly, the Lightship platform is their map experience that they hinted at and that they're working on. Visit lightship.dev. But basically they feel a lot like I'm gonna go to What If. You ready?
All right.
So spoiler alerts for What If you haven't watched it yet. Fast forward about 10 seconds.
I will drive.
Oh well, or 30 house. Seconds. Okay, you ready? Mm. It feels a lot like a certain Sorcerer Supreme that just keeps acquiring and eating mutating and absorbing.
We saw how that worked out, didn't we?
But yeah, I mean, Niantic, they make multiple acquisitions a year since they've started. And maybe it's not multiple a year, but it sometimes feels that way. But they've acquired probably 7 or 8 companies over the past 5 years.
Every link is about how Niantic acquired them, and a few links are about where you can work for Haas, their actual website and platform. But I'm trying to see if there's anything in the news or anything that tells us about Haas. But everything is really, I'm 3 pages in. Niantic acquires Haas. Niantic acquires Haas. Haas, the developer experience platform.
I almost wonder if half of these companies specifically started up as a company to make a software targeted at selling it.
That's a very viable business to do. I would say absolutely at least half of the software startups are like, hey, we built this specific thing with the goal of somebody purchasing our company out from underneath us.
Yep. Kind of like a certain Bo York did with a certain podcast about Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Well, that worked out for our favor.
But yeah. So it's another one that they've acquired that they're throwing in hot. I don't know. When it comes to development, when you acquire new stuff, that doesn't always work out as well as you would hope. But
right. All right. Well, we are at time. So we're going to blow past all the other stuff, unfortunately. But if you would like to be a part of the show, email us, show at PokemonGoPodcast.com. Hit those speak pipes. Get here on Twitter and all that jazz, Twitch. And you know what? We're going to do this real quick before I wrap it out because I don't like to miss it. Joe, what time is it?
It is time for Random Trivia. And this week I am going to talk about Pumpkaboo because let's face it, we're getting Pumpkaboo this month. They hinted at it, although they deleted it, whatever. So Pumpkaboo is the pumpkin Pokemon. It is a ghost grass Pokemon. It looks like a jack-o'-lantern on the bottom, but it's kind of like a hairy jack-o'-lantern. Like it's a jack-o'-lantern with a toupee, kind of.
So you're mind.
But there are different sizes, and I wonder if they will include that in Pokemon Go as well. But there are different sprites depending on what size your Pumpkaboo is. So it'll be curious to see if they put that in our game. My guess is they might not, because let's face it, they might not. And it evolves into Gourgeist.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Is that the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown?
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Brown would love to have a Pumpkaboo.
Linus would love to have a Pumpkaboo. Come on, Joe, you're kidding
me. Gourgeist is also a ghost grass type. Pumpkaboo's Pokedex entry says, the pumpkin body is inhabited by a spirit trapped in this world. As the sun sets, it becomes restless and active.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, just another creepy Pokedex entry. I actually really like Pumpkaboo's shiny form. Instead of the so Pumpkaboo, the toupee on top is brown, but the shiny form it's black, and the pumpkin is purple instead of orange. So that's pretty cool. And then, of course, it's based off of a jack-o'-lantern. And Pumpkaboo is, can you guess where that comes from? The name?
Pumpkin and Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Exactly.
Got it.
100%. I mean, Sully would look at this and he would think about the past and his wonderful experiences with Boo. So yeah, Pumpkaboo, Pumpkin and Boo. And then Gorgeist's Pokedex entry says, singing in eerie voices, they wander down town streets on the night of the new moon. Anyone who hears their song is cursed.
So kind of like they get Rickrolled?
Yes, very much so. Rickrolled. So the name comes from a combination of Gord and Geist, Goregeist. And yeah, again, it's based off of a jack-o'-lantern, although it's almost like the top is a candle sticking out of the jack-o'-lantern instead of a toupee.
Gotcha.
But yeah, pretty much guarantee we're going to be getting it later this month. Don't know any details beyond that, though. So look forward to that.
Hey, it's something new. Chase down. It'll last a minute, and then we'll move on to the next thing. It'll be all right. Now, it'd be cool. Now, only to me, I think the rest of the world will hate this, is you catch Pumpkaboo, then after about 10 days, he starts to rot, and it ultimately melts and disappears. You have to catch another one. So that's, but nobody's going to want that. All right, tell us what you want. Hit us show at Pokemon Go Podcast or at email. Talked about the Speak Pipe on the website. Reddit's r/ Pokemon Go Podcast. Facebook is Pokemon Go Podcast. Twitter's at Pokemon Go Pod, where you actually get our attention a little bit faster than anywhere else, except if you come out to twitch.tv/ Pokemon Go Podcast Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. That'll get our attention all day long. And we already talked about some of the people here, but we'll refresh and say LEP is here and Mr. Tim Rain 19 is what's showing up on my list, some bots. So I don't know on your list what they have, Joe, but that's them.
So I've got a few other people here. We've got Academy Impossible. We've got Bing Cortana. We've got Mr. Tambourine still in LEP, like you said. We've got some jerk named From the Helicarrier.
Jerkfish.
Jerkfish. But yeah.
All right, well, good there times. You go. We'd love to have you come out. Be a part of the show. Help name the show. That's how we get our names. We play the game throughout the show where you put exclamation point and the letter S, hit the space bar, type in your title, and ultimately everybody votes at the end of the show, and that's where we get the titles for the podcast. So come do that. Joe, where can they find you on the web?
You can find me on Twitter at Joseph_Ard. Where can they find you, Charles?
I want to take a second to talk about 1EMS, 1EMS.com. We are 1EMS all across social media. That is my new company and project that I'm working on. And I am an EMT. I've been an EMT for over 20 years in the state of Georgia. And I've taken my perfect path that's brought me through digital media over the last 15 years and EMS over the last 20, and combining them with my partner who has a heart for small business. And we're just filling a void that is much needed and giving EMTs a voice. There's so many people who don't know what we do, from the people in the field sometimes, all the way up to senators, citizens, state representatives, those kind of things. So we're bridging those disconnects. We're giving a voice to EMTs and firefighters about what actually happens in the field, trying to make this a real profession that we can all have careers at and just get the answers that we need. Talk about the issues, ask why, and connect the right people together to get the right answers. You can help us get the word out. You can help us support our cause, you know, our hearts. You know, you say, you know, thank you for your service, you know, for us, what we do as paramedics in the field and firefighters. Do it here. Follow. We are 1EMS on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and we've got a TikTok channel. We haven't really done a whole lot with it yet, but that is coming. And help us get the word out. You'll see me doing interviews and some thought pieces and talking head stuff and more stuff coming. But this isn't just going to be entertainment and education. We are building a platform. One platform, one voice, 1EMS. We're building a platform that you'll be able to get EMTs and firefighters will be able to get career coaching, much needed psychiatric help like PTSD and trauma help, and just have those connections of how do I get this job? How do I do this with my career? What are options? And building that community. So that's One EMS, and the hashtags and the social media as We Are One EMS. And right now, if you go to my Facebook page, that is Rock Auto Podcasting and Charles McFall, there's a post out there on Instagram, on my Instagram, Rock Auto Podcasting. There's a link for a raffle copter. We are trying to get people to get involved and just help us build our numbers and follows and get the voice louder. So join your voice with ours and win some cool stuff through Monday of next week. As of this recording, that would be the 12th, I think it is, 11th or 12th. We have the contest going. You just go through it. Rafflecopter is an online service that is handling it for us. You can win Bluetooth speakers, Amazon Fire tablets, or some Beats by Dre. Come and do that. And you can like our pages. There's just different ways to do it there. If you know anybody who's a firefighter, it doesn't have to be Georgia. Anybody who's a firefighter, EMS, or somebody related to the industry, let them know about One EMS so that we can bring our voices together and make some change happen.